Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. On the show today, we have Filene CEO Mark Meyer talking about their latest report, Should Credit Unions Pay Their Directors? This is a good one, so check it out. Guys just put out a report entitled, Should Credit Unions Pay Their Directors? So, I mean, it's a polarizing issue that's been around for a while, as I said. What does your report cover specifically, just to start things out?
Certainly, Mike. I think it really looks at three things. First and foremost, it's really looking at the issue of kind of why should or shouldn't you consider compensation for your board of directors.
Yep.
Secondly, it does a nice job of really looking at who here in the United States, who is actually paying their board, you know, in what states, what jurisdictions.
Yep. Yep.
And we are now, the report says 12, we are now up to 13 because Oregon just passed legislation to allow compensation.
Okay.
It also is looking at then what, so it's state charter, mm-hmm. credit union.
Mm-hmm.
It's also looking at the asset size, kind of in that who, and then what dollar amount they're paying. The final thing the report really tends to examine is it does a nice job of going to the bigger question, and that's elevating the governance conversation and what are the principles of sound governance and good governance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I feel like the report does a great job of kind of introducing and talking about why you may wish to consider or may not want to compensate, who's doing it and what can we learn for the dollar amount,
yep.
where they're doing it. But more importantly, what are sound governance principles for credit unions in these times?
Yeah, I think that's the key there because, my whole question is like, why is this such a sticky issue? I mean, is it because credit unions are not for profit and we're, you know, all about people helping people? And if you pay a director, if you pay somebody on the board, then it might be some sort of conflict of interest or something, or it might be going against the credit union grain. Why is it, why do you think it's such a kind of a polarizing
issue? I think when you use the term sticky issue, I really feel that it goes down to, and I've been with credit unions 2 decades. I'm a believer. You know, there's no one who's more passionate about the model and credit union philosophy and the opportunity that lies ahead for these wonderful cooperative financial institutions.
Yeah.
I would say, I think what we're really talking about and why it feels sticky is it's good old fashioned change management. Change is an interesting dynamic to human beings. And I think if you go back in time, you know, this is my hunch, why it feels sticky, is that think about the purpose of credit unions, why they were founded, when they were founding, and the construct of the times they were founded in.
Yep.
And what the credit union of 1934 looked like versus the beautiful cooperative financial models we have now, specifically also post-recession and the things we've learned through a Great Depression.
Yep.
And the things we've also learned through a Great Recession. And the dynamics of that and the complexity. You know, you go back to Credit Union 1.0 and the inception, it was this beautiful model where we all knew each other and we worked together likely and then the products the credit unions offered very simple.
Yep.
And the assets under management were, you know, the investments were, everything was regulated.
Right.
And as we move through the 70s, 80s, 90s, deregulation, consumer preferences change, divergence of products, expansion of the opportunity for field of membership, that the sense of community has changed now, you know, from who we work with to the communities we live in to now even, you know, possibly the social networks we're involved in.
Yep.
So the essence of how we know each other, and the complication and the assets under management and the size. So I think you're dealing with just good old fashioned change management.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, or change, you know, how human beings adapt to change. And credit unions have gone through tremendous change over the last 100 years.
Oh yeah,
and so our historical foundation and what feels good about the comfy credit union that we all know and love, and those of us such as myself who spent decades, it's suddenly, well, what do you mean? We're going to take one of those pillars or fundamentals that was always kind of one of the things we're proud of,
yeah.
and possibly talk about change to that. So.
I gotcha. Yeah, I can see that. So, what are some of the pros and cons? Do you think of this? I mean, I'm sure that's.
So the report covers several, right? And I actually have been a credit union. I've had a unique career. I'm an attorney by education. I've been able to practice in 2 states. I've also been an executive at a credit union and interfaced with the board of directors. I've also worked with the insurance company that insures a lot of the credit union board of directors. I've led Filene. And for over a decade, I was actually a board member with Wisconsin's largest credit union, the Summit Credit Union.
Okay.
And so I've got kind of a unique lens on this, and I think if I had my own personal journey, and I think the pros and cons really flow as follows. You know, one might be reason to compensate would be, hey, board pay attracts and helps retain potentially better board members.
Yeah.
The con could be it's contrary to credit union philosophy.
Right.
Board pay, proactive, the good thing might be it will engender increased time. Because of the increased time commitment, mm-hmm. it compensates those. And I felt that as a board member post-recession or through recession, the issues we faced in the boardroom at our credit union, I was spending 20, 30, you know, hours a month dealing with credit union stuff. And I'm a guy who's very engaged in my career.
Yeah.
And I was also an officer, so there were a lot of subcommittee meetings and the time commitment went like that. And guess what also happened in the recession? the liability went up, right?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit. And I'm a lawyer, and so even with good insurance companies out there like Kidd Mutual Group, you still, you know, there's liability.
Sure.
You know, I think there's another piece to this that gets back into the good governance. A con could be, is it going to create further entrenchment? You know, although we don't consider conferences and education and some of the technology things that are provided to board members mm-hmm. is not necessarily considered compensation, mm-hmm. Even some of those, what you'll call the perks or the opportunities to grow, folks like to be able to go to certain events and conferences because it's a way to experience it. A couple more might be, Mike, you know, paying board members leads to more board accountability because they are being paid. Mm-hmm. So they have to have more engagement. They'll feel the obligation. I'm mm-hmm. getting something for this. I've got to read the board packet beyond the fiduciary duty. I think another a con to that, though, is it costs a credit union money. And every dollar spent on something that's not a member, that is, you know, you're dealing with a cooperative and it's the member's money. So you have these kind of pros and cons. The final one that the report examines really looks at, it's a way to recognize the board members. So is that a good thing? And mm-hmm. the con on that could be, but would it threaten the tax exempt status? Personally, in my observation would be the research shows that has not happened.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
12 states, that has not threatened the tax-exempt status. You will have folks out there who will try to raise that flag. But as you look at the things we talked about earlier with the change, when those jurisdictions or communities choose to change that status, mm-hmm. to allow, a lot of it has to do with the fundamentals of how complex the institutions are becoming.
It's, the word that covers all of that, Mark, is the word that you said at the very beginning, the governance of it all, you know? I mean, those are great pros and cons for each side. I mean, they all are extremely valid, but you've got to have some sort of governance to control all that stuff. So yeah, I mean, all those are great. And then you would have somebody probably like Keith Leggett who would be waving the flag, like, why is a not-for-profit organization paying its board members when that money could be going to the members and services and whatnot? So you would have, it might open a can of worms for the other side.
Certainly, there is a perception that it could.
Yep, indeed. So, I mean, what's going on in the industry right now regarding board compensation? You mentioned at the beginning that there's a dozen or so, 13, whatever, credit unions.
States legislation to allow compensation. Some have limits. The report itself does cover which jurisdictions, the asset size, the dollar amounts on average per asset size. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. My observation in reviewing the materials in the report is I have heard, and when you look at why this report, why now, you have post-recession folks recognizing, and now you have this the CFPB, another regulator coming in, and more things being to be aware of. I think there is increased awareness from a CEO standpoint that this is getting more complex.
Oh my gosh.
And my boss, the board, needs to have the appropriate context. We need, you know, leadership is the lid, and if the board members are struggling to keep up with the complexity and we need the right folks on the board, mm-hmm. it's germinated some interest. And the second thing that it looks at, or it doesn't examine, but I think from my lens and what I learned and why now is an interesting time, we're having more exposure to what's happened internationally. For those that are in cooperative finance that have gone before us. Mm-hmm. And if you look at other jurisdictions, mm-hmm. most every other jurisdiction out of the United States,
right.
paying.
Really? Okay.
So examples would be the Australian credit union movement and cooperative financial sector, most of the Canadians as well. And their markets in some ways have dealt with some of the competitive and more complex regulatory requirements mm-hmm. That we haven't yet faced in the United States. Mm-hmm. Post-recession, that's accelerating, with regulation. And we're starting to, it is becoming a globalized financial system where everything's on par and there's parity.
Yeah.
Regs globally. And so from my outside of experience, they're not covered in the report. The compensation dollar amounts, in terms of what you see in the report here, are far below what you see internationally.
So this would actually be good timing for this topic to come up at the upcoming ACUC World Council Credit Unions Conference in Denver next month. I mean, the timing is very well done.
Certainly for the folks that are joining us from these various jurisdictions to share their experiences.
Yeah.
What has been the impact as they've introduced compensation on the caliber of board and then potentially those comms mm-hmm. or cons? Is it impacting and kind of paralyzing?
I would love to hear their stories. I would love to hear their stories, see how it turns out. So, all right, so what's the goal of this report? Is it to just kind of inform? Are you trying to influence or sway? Or what's the goal here?
You know, the number one, you know, Filene, we were founded 26 years ago by the credit union system, and in the spirit of finding filing was we need an independent and unbiased sort of, call it the Switzerland, to really examine issues that can be polarizing. The intent of this report is absolutely to inform debate and create good discussion, vibrant discussion. You know, we are at a time, and this is, you know, my very personal perspective is, what is the big next threat for credit unions, right? And so this ties to this potentially, is we are going through, it's a great time to be a human being. It's a great time to be a credit union. We're experiencing incredible things. And what we're also seeing is this hockey stick of disruption in industries, in finance, and the number of fintech firms being funded by venture capital on a monthly basis is equal to one of our top 100 credit unions. $2.5 billion a month is into fintech, VC. So the point would be this, all this is happening. So the good news is number one, this means there's opportunity for credit unions. If there's that many entrants saying there's unmet needs of how people want to digest and enjoy and experience their financial services, there's unmet needs because people are poking to get in. That's the good news. So for credit unions, hey, that's great.
Okay.
The downside, back to your question, why is this important and is in play right now, is we've got a lot of money being thrown at this from outsiders. A lot of talent is chasing that money. If we're an established player that may be up against disruption, how are we bringing in, hey, your mind and my mind, those of us who've been here, we're wise and seasoned, we've got great perspectives, we have the head and heart of what this is all about. The war on talent is real.
Yes, it is. Oh my
gosh,
yeah.
The war on talent is real. And is taxation the next biggest threat for credit unions, or is it talent? And is it leadership? And leadership is governance, and leadership is our executives and leadership and the front line and how we're engaging that talent. So I think this is, you know, it's certainly meant to inform. And I think it's encouraging us to kind of respectfully poke at, hey, we are not talking about talent. And what I see happen, you know, we can segue in this conversation around the talent issue. There is a war on talent, and where are credit unions?
Yeah,
and so this is a piece to that. This is sort of a threshold issue at the board level. What are we doing around the executive level and the succession below and the bringing in? You know, I've met them at some of the universities. We have relationships. We got smart people who have, because they live through and they see what they see. And James is one of them, right? I don't know how fortunate we were to find James and for him to also be willing to move to Madison from London.
Yeah,
but he sees the power of this idea. And I worry more about the war on talent than I do taxation for the future of credit.
Well, I mean, the talent will follow. I mean, everything will follow the talent, don't you think?
Yeah. And so this leadership is the lid, right? And CEO has also, and so what is going to enable, and I'm not saying the boards need to be paid to be a higher lid, but this is one piece of that conversation.
Exactly.
What does a CEO need to have above he or she to enable them to have the dexterity to react to all this change?
It is a crucial time to have a potent board behind you or even directing as well. So yeah, I totally see your point big time. And I didn't even see that coming until you brought it up. It's like, because that's going to be the basis of all the direction of your credit union, basically. So mercy, very important times, Mark. Thanks for that.
I think how it came to be at this time, why it rose, I think was the two, we were hearing about it from the CEOs. And then number two is our exposure to the international sector. So we were hearing from the community, hey, what's happening around this? We're grappling with this. And then number two, guess what? We've got these research relationships. And as we deepen those, we're finding things out. We're like, everyone else seems to be paying their board members.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Interesting, interesting topic. Mark, thank you so much. This is fantastic stuff. I didn't have any. This has opened up a nice can of worms for us here that I'm sure, again, is great timing for the America's Credit Union Conference with the World Council of Credit Unions coming up next month. I think it would be a fantastic topic to talk about
I'd want to leave you with this.
Yeah,
Mike,
go ahead.
The most important aspect of this report is this is kind of the threshold issue into a big conversation about what are our governance principles? What does it require to have sound governance? And you know, we have many credit unions that are high performing, and why they are high performing is yet to entirely always be assessed. Great leadership, and we did find in the report and it's only one data point, that the credit unions who were paying their board members were higher performing. It doesn't mean board comp leads to higher performance. That's not clear. Yep. So many things, yet it is one data point. And again, good governance is the headline on this.
That's the key, sir. That is the key. Well, thanks again, Mark. I appreciate it. And I'm sure this issue will not go away anytime soon. So we may be talking again. Who knows?
All right. Great time for follow-up study, right?
Indeed, exactly. We'll do it again. Sounds good, Mark.